and it's KVC Arts Now on KVCR, Arts and Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming, welcoming once again Beth Wheat with the Big Bear Theater Project. Beth joined us a couple of months ago talking about their season opener on Golden Pond. Now, the rest of the season. Lots to cover here. BigBearTheaterProject.org for history, what's coming up, and so much more. Another one of the things coming up in August. Talk to us about the Creating Worlds Playwright Festival. And note, this is the inaugural performance for what hopefully will continue year after year. So first of all, let me just jump in with how long has this been in the works? And I mean, even as just a germ of an idea of, man, we got to do this someday.
You know. Well, there's a little bit of a history here, which is a great question. We first started soliciting new plays just before COVID. We had done an evening of one acts, which was really a lot of fun. And we wanted to do that again, so we wanted to solicit new works. Our artistic director, Christine Drew Benjamin, creates the seasons for us, and she comes up with themes, and the shows are always thematically connected. And she actually created the ability for playwrights to send one-act plays to us a few years before COVID, which was essentially the beginning of the idea to do a playwright festival. We received hundreds of submissions, and so many of them were brilliant, and our plan had been to do staged readings of those plays, and then pandemic. So we set that aside, and we had not revisited it until we became a professional theater a few years ago, and we've been in closer contact with playwrights. Many of our actors have written plays. Actors these days are wearing many hats to make a living. And it links back to that conversation about how inspiring the beauty of Big Bear is, particularly in a creative sense, that we wanted to have playwrights come and stay and develop their plays in a lab environment, working with one another, working with some of the actors and directors that we've worked with and with ourselves as well, to refine their pieces and then to do staged readings of the finished product on the last weekend. So we're very excited about that, to have people come. And so we call it the inaugural. We hope to be able to do this time after time. There's a way to phrase it. It was basically that Big Bear isn't just a place to come and consume art. It's a place to come and create it.
Nice. Oh, you've got a good marketing person. They're not just catchphrases. They're quite nice. That's really great.
Good. Yeah. That's good. Because it's really how we feel. I think that's the difference. It's authentic. We understand that this is something that's so necessary for our cultural moment. We need to have people come together, share emotions, think deep thoughts, regardless of where you stand on anything. This is about being human.
Oh, truly. Oh, my gosh. And what a time for it. I mean, you could throw a dart at a calendar and hit a time where something as dark is happening in the world of politics. It's really what I love about the arts. Sometimes it's just an escape. Sometimes it's a reaction. But there's a lot of reasons for it. And I'm so, so glad it's happening. There's a lot more going on in Big Bear than I think a lot of people knew.
It's true.
For this year's Creating Worlds Playwright Festival, was it again submissions to pick out for this year's festival?
Yes.
This depends on whether you get hundreds or if you get a half dozen, but which I really doubt would be the case. But if you have 20 that are just dynamite, but you can only put six over a weekend or whatever the case is with proper rotation. So what about those other 12? Do you do that later in the year? Okay, well, we've already got our shows for next year. Have you thought about yet how that's going to be handled?
Unfortunately, for this year, it'll be the top five or six, depending on length, because we want to make sure that when we invite people up, that they're going to have the time to really deeply develop their work and to have it be seen in the best possible light by the public when we do the shows.
Truly.
It will necessarily have to be limited. We will certainly keep in touch with those other playwrights. We'll encourage them to submit for next time. But, you know, I think that's the way it will be this time around. And we'll see how everything works, because this is the first time that it's truly been a lab with the writers here with us in Big Bear, and see whether or not it's something that we want to expand or reshape. So it's very much a lean startup and experimental. And we're just very appreciative of the people who have already submitted and the enthusiasm that we've seen.
Oh, most certainly. Again, the Creating Worlds Playwrights Festival running August 13th through the 16th. You're listening to KVC Arts. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Beth Weed about the upcoming season for the Big Bear Theater Project. And now this next one, Jonathan Larson's Tick, Tick, Boom. Not as well-known as some, I'd say, but if you know this one, you know it passionately.
That's
right. But then a lot of other people, if it's not cats, maybe they haven't heard of it yet or something like that, you know. So Tick, Tick, Boom. In all honesty, I have not seen this one, but I know what it is and who it came from. Jonathan Larson is responsible for some works that other people would definitely know of. So
yes.
Talk about, please, Jonathan Larson, who he is, the significance to him, and then let's talk about this show about the pressures of trying to succeed in show, something like that.
Yes.
Totally autobiographical,
yes.
I think, right?
Well, yeah, oddly. I think, okay. First of all, most people recognize Jonathan Larson for Rent. Yeah. And when people hear that, they're like, okay, then I want to see Tick, Tick, Boom. And it is a fantastic musical. It follows a compassionate young composer on the eve of his 30th birthday. The first time I saw the play, it was the eve of my son's 30th birthday. Mm. So that was very interesting to me. But the musicality of it is very broad. It ranges from typical Broadway sounds to jazz. And it's a love letter to every artist who ever dared to dream. So Jonathan Larson was reflecting his own personal anxieties and his struggle with being able to bring forth into the world all of the incredibly intricate things that were going through his mind.
Succeeding and, before he turned 30.
Exactly. And then, you know, tragically passing away
shortly thereafter.
So it really packs a wallop, but the music is fantastic. And we do have casts on the line, and we're very excited about the talent that we're bringing. We can't say that just yet.
Okay.
I know, but I'll call you so you'll know as we get a little closer, because it's really amazing. It's just something that we're very much looking forward to bringing. Again, it aligns for us with what's happening in terms of the arts renovation and renaissance that's taking place in Big Bear.
Oh, wow.
And it's that same kind of a push for how hard it is to make art and how necessary it is to make art.
You know what? I think that when we spoke last December, I asked briefly about the next season, and you were like, oh, there's some names, but we can't mention them just yet. And now we know that's like Donnie Most and some of the other people. But
yes.
Okay, so this is a pattern that I can live with because it's a good tease. That's fine. Hey, are you doing it as a one-person show as he originally developed it? Because then after he died, it was reimagined as a three-person thing.
Yes.
Which way of, or are you splitting it down the middle? We've got two.
No, we licensed the play through MTI, and that's a three-person play.
So you would have gotten the adaptation.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. And I think there's a film of it somewhere, maybe on Netflix or something like that. That happened? Yeah. But I mean, I always recommend the live experience, especially for something like this, because it'll be something very much like Sunday in the Park with George. You know, if you're a Sondheim fan, when it's about the struggle and the pleasure and the drive to make art, you want to see that live because you feel it. You have that shared energy with the audience. And this one is definitely very, very powerful, very moving, very inspiring. And I think it's a great time for this.
Do you know if with all the different types of music that we'll get in the show, Tick, Tick, Boom, I mean, it's sold or described or whatever as a rock musical, but you mentioned, you know, there's different types of music, including jazz and whatnot.
Yes.
Will you have tracked music? Are you going to bring in a band?
That is yet to be determined.
Okay.
So we did Little Shop of Horrors a couple of years ago. We had a live band for that.
Oh, good for you.
Fantastic.
Good.
We prefer to have a live band,
but
I'm not directing this one.
Yeah,
so
true.
That one is a question mark.
Even though we can't mention his name, her name, their name. You said it's already been cast. Was that, again, one that, did you have somebody that was like, okay, oh, we're going to do this show, he would be perfect for it, or she would be perfect for it? Or was it the case of knowing this person, therefore, that's why we're going to do Tick, Tick, Boom? You know, so which kind of not quite audition was it?
Yeah, that's a fair question, because as I said before with On Golden Pond, I wanted to do that show with Don. This one, so Brian Adams, who is one of our board members and part of the company.
Not Brian Adams.
He gets that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he is a four-time Jeopardy champ. Yeah. Exactly.
Your guy, Brian Adams, is a four-time Jeopardy champ?
Yes.
Oh, what is really cool? Wow.
What is really cool for three? Bryan Adams.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So anyway, he's famous in his own right. He is directing this show. And he definitely had his own vision for casting. And then we had open auditions for one of the roles. But for the female, we had someone in mind. And for the other role, we stumbled across someone who's quite fabulous. I mean, they're all going to be fabulous, but we just can't say who they are yet.
The player to be named later.
Yes, okay, yes. And if they're not able to do it when the time comes around, we'll find someone else. You know, we've made a lot of great connections in the industry.
Yeah.
We have a reputation with actors and directors and set designers that make them want to come back and refer us to their friends. And so we've just kind of had this steady stream of goodness in terms of who's coming up to do our shows.
Keeping in the Jeopardy thing, I'd say, oh, wouldn't it be really cool if you brought in Ken Jennings now for this? Okay, anyway.
Yes.
Wow.
Not for Tick, Tick, Boom, probably. But I don't know.
Right.
We could think of something.
Yep, yep.
Death of a Salesman.
I don't know. There we go. Oh, gosh, it's been years on that one.
Yeah.
I was going to say a fun one, but it is a fun one, even though it's deep and depressing at the end as it is.
I love a juicy drama.
Yeah,
I think it's tons of fun. Yeah.
I was about to start going off into a, yeah. I like a juicy drama, but sometimes all you want to be is outside with your shirt off. With Biff and Happy talking
That's
together.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and in Big Bear, you can do that. You could do both.
Oh, my God, yeah. I really want it. I really want it. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be maybe talking about real estate as well as radio soon. But anyway, so now we've talked about several things going throughout the season. And once again, I can't mention it often enough. BigBearTheaterProject.org. To find out some history and the shows coming up, some teases toward the next season, other ways you can get involved, contribute in various ways. Closing out the year with the beloved A Ghost Story of Christmas. That's going to be December 17th through the 20th. And you're directing this one as well.
I am, yes.
Will this feature Mark Daniel Cade again? Or do you rotate that out? Or as long as a person wants to stay, how does that work?
We do rotate it out.
Okay.
And Mark was phenomenal. Oh, my gosh. He was just fantastic. This year, we have a phenomenal actor named Joe Freya.
You named him. We actually gave his name.
We did.
Oh,
I can.
Check you
I
out.
Can name him. Yes. It's a tricky thing in this business.
I'm sure.
When
yes,
you can and
yes.
can't. But we know for sure that Joe is inked, as they say. And he is a phenomenal actor and screenwriter and producer, director. He has one of the best horror films that he shot up in Big Bear that I've seen in a long time.
Really?
And he has a lot of range and nuance as an actor. And I'm super excited to come up and collaborate with him. So every year I modify the script a bit.
Okay.
Again, when Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol, the title of the piece was A Ghost Story of Christmas Being a Christmas Carol in Prose. So that's a long, it's a very Dickensian way of saying it's a ghost story, and it sounds almost like poetry,
huh.
but
it's not. Dickensian way of describing a Dickens play. That's, and I will never get that because I didn't write it down when you said it, and it's complicated. But it's so you have a different title than what everybody knows, which is simply A Christmas Carol. But it's really the more accurate or another accurate way of saying it. Let's say
yes. It's a nod. It's a nod. I mean, and when you think of A Christmas Carol, you think of the ghosts.
Yep.
They should be the title.
They should be.
You know, they deserve it.
They should be.
Those theater ghosts.
And people always say the three ghosts. They always forget about poor Jacob.
I know.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, it starts with Jacob.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
It's true.
That's Beth Wheat with the Big Bear Theater Project. We're hearing about what's coming up in the near and relative near future with a few fun sidebars, maybe. In this adaptation of what most know as A Christmas Carol, this is a really cool adaptation, and we'll have more just ahead as KVC Arts continues. Also, more at BigBearTheaterProject.org. Many past KVC Arts can be found through iTunes, Spotify, NPR One, or many other podcast sites, and more still at KVCR.org/arts. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your contribution any time of the year, day or night. Whether it's a one-time gift or if you're setting up a sustaining membership with an automatic monthly amount of your choosing, many do $5 or $10 a month. Some do more. The amount is up to you for this or for a one-time gift. Both take only approaching 3 minutes of your time at kvcr.org/support. Back now with KVCR Arts, I'm David Fleming. On this edition of the program, I'm speaking with Beth Wheat about the Big Bear Theater Project's 2026 season. We are speaking about one not coming up until December, but it's a fascinating and really cool adaptation. They're calling it A Ghost Story of Christmas, being a Christmas carol in prose. Again, this is a story that people are very, very familiar with. I would say, you know, most people would know of A Christmas Carol, whether it was the Muppet version or, gosh, there was a Rich Little version, if you recall that, where he did every character.
Yeah. And then Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell made that one. They're very weird. I love all the takes on it.
Deadpool does Christmas.
Exactly.
Okay. Wow.
And tap dances. Who knew?
Yeah, you don't expect that. I don't know why. Like we were also surprised when our beloved Wolverine was singing Oklahoma.
True.
Ducks and geese. Okay.
Now he's a sheep herder.
Well, he came from that and now he's back
to
it.
That's true. Good. Okay. You always return to your roots.
Roots was somebody else. That was Alex Haley. Okay. Talk about this show, please. Beyond the change of the title, it's just one person. Well, it's one person primarily, but you do have some Foley artists that you can see but not see. Let's talk about this. Let's flesh it out. When people go, you're not going to get Scrooge and Bob Cratchit. And but it's not multiple, what I'm dancing around not being able to say. What's happening
that's,
here?
That's quite all right. What I love about A Christmas Carol is that because it's supernatural, it can be anything. So I've done so many iterations of this as a stage play. And in one version, it was a large cast. And I had the ghost of Christmas past be a little girl. But the ghost of Christmas present was a 1950s housewife.
Oh.
And she flew around and had a steam iron and used that to castigate Scrooge. It was fun and wonderful because ghosts, you could do anything you want with them. So this particular version is intended for one actor to play all the roles. So Scrooge, Mrs. Cratchit, Belle, all the familiar characters that you recall from the story. And here's an interesting thing. I really hope one day to cast a woman.
Okay.
And in all these years, I've never had anybody ask me if the men are going to play women. But when I say I would like to cast a woman, well, will she play the men? And I think that's so interesting. Yes. Yes, she will. And I even have some women in mind that would be fantastic. So that just so far the timing hasn't worked out. But I find that really interesting that people can wrap their heads around switching the gender one way but not the other.
Or they can get their head stuck there and not leave it alone. Okay, so the thing is, though, really you could have any gender playing this because it's not like you need a male to play old man Scrooge.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the person, this one person, it's almost reading a story to a child where you're talking about it, but then you slip in a character.
Exactly.
And then you're talking more, and they're more of a narrator than the character.
Yes and no, because they really definitely act all of the emotions, probably in a way that would be more amplified than a narrator or someone reading the tale. You could have someone sit on a bar stool and read that story, and it would be captivating. Just what's amazing is when you see actors like the ones that we've had who are so gifted and, you know, it's the shift of a shoulder or just a slight change in posture.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you see young Scrooge and then sitting next to him on the bench is Belle and it's all Mark Cade. But because of his mastery, you hear Belle and you hear her emotions. This is why I think people come back time after time and why it's so fascinating to watch, because when actors are able to do that, it's masterful.
Yes.
And they've all hit it out of the park and they've all been incredibly different in their approach.
I mentioned earlier, as I was, I guess, kind of introducing this, you've got beyond the main performer, you also have, I think I referred to them as the Foley artist who's seen yet not seen.
Mm-hmm.
Can you really describe what I'm talking about there?
Yes, I can. In years past, we've had a chorus of four people who would sing underscoring and also do the sound effects, the practical sound effects. So when Marley comes in and his feet are bound, with every step that he takes, there's the rattling of chains.
Yes.
When Scrooge observes Fred's Christmas Eve party, there's the clinking of china and the murmuring of the party underscored. So it's like a soundscape that helps to bring what's happening with the actor more to life, and it gives us something fun to do.
And a lot of the time you would have the Foley artist, if they're just creating sound effects, a lot of the time you would have them hidden away. But because of the nature of this, and this is your adaptation, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because of this, they are really more a part of it. So it's cool for you to see the heavy boots and then to see them maybe dragging some chains or whatever.
Exactly.
Maybe it's a bowl full of quarters that makes that. You know, and that's fun, too, to see the different things that a person can make a sound effect with to represent something else.
I think so, too. And we try to make it so that it's not distracting. We're off to the side, and most of the lights are always focused on the actor. But, you know, people will still look at us and, you know, we get a little bit of interaction with the audience. But for the most part, I think it works and is not very distracting. That's the goal, that it's enhancing and subtle.
That's Beth Wheat with the Big Bear Theater Project talking about A Ghost Story of Christmas being a Christmas carol in prose. A really cool adaptation of the Charles Dickens classic, which most know as A Christmas Carol. You're listening to KVCR. I'm David Fleming. Again, all performances are at the Big Bear Lake Performing Arts Center. That's inside City Hall. You have to know that. I mean, it's hard to...
You do, but, you know, fortunately, if you come up, you don't have to worry. There's usually cars pulling into the parking lot, and there's a stream of people going into the lobby, so you just follow the crowd.
Nice. Okay,
You'll find your way.
Excellent.
Yes. And for Ghost Story, we build a black box theater on top of that giant stage. You know, we have this huge stage with a 40-foot diameter revolve, and we put black pipe and drape around it, and the seats are on the stage. So it's limited number of seats, and we have been selling out the last 2 years, which is fantastic. So you want to get tickets for that one early. A Ghost Story of Christmas.
I thought it was much longer than that.
Well,
the Dickens version was, but yours is simply A Ghost Story of Christmas. Okay.
Yes. The first time I created a stage adaptation and I directed that show, it was for the community theater group.
Okay.
And the cast pitched in and purchased for me a first edition printing of Charles Dickens' book.
Wow.
And that was the first time I realized that the actual title back then was A Ghost Story of Christmas being a Christmas carol in prose.
Wow. That's one of those things you read and it's like, okay, and then you go back and read it again. What?
Right.
It's not a Christmas carol? I've known in my heart it was a Christmas carol for 60 years in July.
Of course.
And, you know, kind of.
Nobody wants to say that many words.
No.
In true Dickens fashion, it's beautiful. The title itself is poetic.
Yeah.
So I can't bring myself to just let it go forever.
I'm going to have to bring myself to memorize that title finally so that I can actually say it someday without saying, oh, I know this lady who, you know. Wow.
Yeah, I cherish that language. It's throughout the story. It's just incredible.
We've been talking about the Big Bear Theater Project. Just go to bigbeartheaterproject.org.
Yes.
And you've got really a lot of information there.
Mm-hmm. And you can link to the tickets from there.
Did I leave out anything that's happening in the season, even something that's just so off to the side, but people will want to know how to come in and do plein art in it because it's, you know, whatever the case is?
Yes. I think definitely keep tabs on the Arts Council website, also the Visit Big Bear website. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening around in Big Bear for the summer, so please come up and enjoy that with us. I think I mentioned before all the things, mountain biking, hiking, restaurants with live music on the patios. It's really beautiful vibe in Big Bear in the summer. And of course, we have the U.S. rowing team up there now, which is amazing. And then beyond that, in addition to that, we're doing more and more pageants like plein air or art walks and things like that for people to experience other art forms in addition to music and theater.
So even though we've got a complete season listed, there are a few dark pockets where something could end up happening that's not listed right now.
Definitely. For example, certainly when we are approaching the production of Tick, Tick, Boom, we'll look to perhaps do a screening of Rent, the film. And who knows, that often does attract people that have been attached to those projects.
That's true.
So we try to put in little extras here and there serendipitously as the opportunities come. So it's important to stay connected.
Excellent. The best connection there, once again, bigbeartheaterproject.org. Beth, I can't thank you enough for coming in. I close these often with, you know, I mean, I love talking to musicians and all aspects of the art, but having been officially a theater geek since the age of 12, I'm really excited anytime that I get to delve into these waters. Again, delve, I'm mixing metaphors. People who mix metaphors should not live in glass houses or something like that.
I have one for you. I want to quote. I was up in Sacramento for the California Arts Council Alliance, which is a fabulous thing to experience.
I'll bet.
But one of the speakers said, artists tell you the condition of the water you're swimming in.
Oh.
I love that. And I think going back to being theater geeks, I wish everyone had the opportunity to experience live theater. We still come across so many people who say they've never been to a play, and now they don't think they want to. I think they fear that they can even pay attention to something for that long. I lament that, you know, because it's just what it means to be human. That's why it's been around for as long as we have, probably.
Yeah.
So I just think anybody that goes in and has a good theater experience is forever changed for the better. And people who make theater, we always talk about how sports builds character. Well, theater does it in exactly the same ways, really.
Character,
the physical discipline, having to work together, getting along with everyone, whether you want to or not. There's just amazing skills that come out of being a part of it. But it also, you can get some of that by just observing it.
That's right. Nice. It's a nice way to wrap. I couldn't have written a better closer.
I'm sure you could have. Yeah. We won't think about it. We'll just
We'll call
take
this
it for
one.
What
yeah,
it was.
This is perfect. Beth, thank you for coming in for this.
Thank
you.
This
is beautiful. And I look forward to the, even though we just covered a year of stuff, really, I truly look forward to the next one. And whether it's you coming in to talk about what's coming up with the Big Bear Theater Project, or whether it's me heading up there and we're just talking about the play that we just walked out of or whatever the case is. I look forward to the next conversation.
Oh, likewise.
And I appreciate it.
Yes, I hope to see everybody that ever listens to you in Big Bear now.
You can get more seats.
Yeah, I might need some more seats. We'll figure out how to do it. We'll get you in.
Beautiful. Thanks again, Beth.
Thank you.
Again, bigbeartheaterproject.org for the season and more, including the Creating Worlds Playwrights Festival running August 13th through the 16th. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Beth Wheat, and here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Jessica Greenwell, Tony Lopez, and Shireen Awad. Many past shows can be found through Spotify, iTunes, NPR1, or many other podcast sites, and more still are at kvcr.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. Give any time of the year at kvcr.org/support. And thanks again.